Good afternoon. This is the Midday News for today, Thursday, April 18th, 2024.
Wherever it...
I am Richie Ferrall in the headlines. Financial economist and UWP leader Dr. Thompson Fontaine discourages Caribbean leaders from supporting establishment of low investment offshore banks in their countries. Police Welfare Association President Cameron Lawrey highlighted the Royal St. Lucia Police Force resource needs and contends that police officers sharing bulletproof vests is unacceptable.
Wherever.
And Ukraine Prime Minister Denis Shmyhal told the BBC there will be a third world war if Ukraine loses its conflict with Russia, as he urged the United States Congress to pass a long-stalled foreign aid bill. The news. Brought to you with the very kind compliments of Courts Dominica Limited. More details coming up.
Q, top of the hour news. As it happens,
when it growth spurts might mean it's time for a bigger fridge. Don't worry, at Courts, we've got you with a TCL 16.5 cubic foot fridge for only $3,199. Or maybe you're ready to turn your home entertainment up a notch. That means a larger TV. We've got you with an LG 60-inch smart UHD smart 4K TV. Excited about making your new home feel more like you? We've got you. Get the Perth 3-piece living room set with a cup holder for only $5,299. Or shop Ashley Furniture for great deals and free furniture pieces today. Need a better mattress for more restful sleep? We've got the size and comfort that's right for you. Save $450 on the Restonic Comfort Care Pillow Top Queen Mattress. Save today and pay later. Whatever you need, we've got you. With up to 30% off storewide. Courts, bringing value home.
Welcome back. Financial economist and UWP leader Dr. Thompson Fontaine discourages Caribbean leaders from supporting the establishment of low investment offshore banks in their countries. Dr. Fontaine promises if he's elected as Prime Minister of Dominica in the future, his administration will create an investment environment which only attracts high-end investors who will positively impact the growth of the economy and create a large number of jobs for citizens. He added that Dominica's interest in accepting offshore banks has done little for the investment portfolio of the economy.
I've been taking a very close look at the offshore industry, at the way in which it operates, the reputation, the overall benefit that it brings to the country. It's not something I would invest in, not something I would take into. You know, what you really want is brick and mortar financial institutions that can provide employment, that can provide opportunities for the public, that can provide loans for businesses in the country to be take out and lend, that can provide mortgages so that persons can go get good mortgages at good rates, that they can build a family. That to me is a better model to follow. Because at the end of the day, you have a lot more benefit that comes to the country in form of the employment that is generated, but also in terms of economic activity that's generated. The offshore bank, other than the licenses that they generate, they don't really generate any other economic activity for the country. And all of these scrutiny that goes into them, because as I said, they can be used for illicit activities. They can be used to finance illegal transactions on the web, for example. So if somebody has a very terrible, what they call dark net, where they operate and you want to hire a killer or something, you can go on there and make a payment through those banks, you know, whereas you're not able to do it in a regular bank where there is a trace where it can be traced.
United Workers Party leader and economist Dr. Thompson Fontaine. The Pan-American Health Organization, PAHO, recently presented a series of recommendations at G20 events in Brazil to strengthen equity in access to digital health, expand innovation and production of health technologies, tackle antimicrobial resistance, increase health investment, and ensure greater retention of health workforce in the countries and territories of the Americas. At the first thematic meeting on April 7th, 2024, PAHO advocated for expanding equitable access to digital health, including through the sharing of knowledge, resources, and tools. At the meeting the following day, April 8th, the organization stressed the need to strengthen public policies and regulatory frameworks on the use of telehealth, participate in the co-creation of digital public goods and implement digital literacy programs for health professionals, among others. Marcelo D'Agostino, head of PAHO's Information Systems and Digital Health Unit, commended Brazil for its solidarity in sharing digital health knowledge, resources, and tools. Open quote, "The only way to achieve success is to work together as a network," he said. At another event on April 8th, focusing on investment in digital health, PAHO's Director of Health Systems and Services, James Fitzgerald, highlighted the Alliance for Primary Healthcare in the Americas, which the organization signed with the Inter-American Development Bank, IDB, and the World Bank in December of last year. Open quote, "This alliance will promote, increase, and improve the quality of investments in primary healthcare in the Americas, including digital health," end quote, Fitzgerald noted. The issue of the debt for health mechanism was addressed in a session the following day. "The high level of debt is one of the factors that can prevent countries from investing adequately in health and limit the possibilities for action." The World Bank, in collaboration with the Ministry of Agriculture, Fisheries and Blue and Green Economy, hosted a two-day workshop in efforts to develop a Food Security Crisis Preparedness Plan, FSCPP. Permanent Secretary in the Agriculture Ministry, Ryan Anselm, he says the workshop, which ends today, April 18, 2024, will aid the ministry in mitigating the negative impact of global challenges.
"We meet as stakeholders to ensure that food security and nutrition amidst the ongoing global and local challenges, we are prepared to meet these challenges. The Food Security Crisis Preparedness Plan, or in short, FSCPP, represents our collective commitment not merely to react to crises, but to proactively activate and mitigate their impacts. Remember the wise words from former President Benjamin Franklin: if you fail to prepare, you are preparing to fail. And let us take this philosophy in our deliberation today. It is the ministry's expectation this plan will actively monitor and identify crisis risk, establish protocols that will enable mobilization of resources, and coordinate timely actions. This should be more just a protocol. It should be a pledge to protect the well-being of our most vulnerable population against severe shocks such as economic downturns, natural disasters, or global."
Permanent Secretary in the Agriculture Ministry, Ryan Anselm. This is Q95 News. United Nations Secretary General Antonio Guterres conveyed a message to young people, emphasizing their crucial role in devising solutions to the ongoing crises confronting the world. He underscored the sobering reality that progress toward achieving the 2030 Sustainable Development Goals is slipping away. Guterres stated that a policy brief to be presented by youth at the 2024 ECOSOC Forum will urge governments to implement measures that facilitate meaningful youth engagement across decision-making spheres. This highlights the pressing need to involve young people in decision-making processes at all levels.
"Our world needs you more than ever, from climate change to conflicts, to poverty and inequalities, to the fact that the Sustainable Development Goals are slipping out of reach. Developing solutions to these challenges side by side with young people is the driving force of this forum's discussion. It is the reason behind the new UN Youth Office that will be fully operational this year. And it's at the heart of the UN policy brief launched last week on meaningful youth participation. The brief responds to what young people have been telling us for years, that you feel ignored by decision makers even when you are at the table, and that you are left out of the decisions that affect you the most. The policy brief puts forward three core recommendations. First, it calls on governments to expand and strengthen youth participation at all levels of decision-making. That includes establishing a dedicated youth consultation mechanism in every country in the world and a global standard on meaningful youth participation. Second, it calls on member states to ensure that youth engagement is at the heart of UN decision-making processes and to strengthen critical avenues for youth participation, including this ECOSOC Youth Forum. And third, it calls for the establishment of a standing UN Youth Town Hall process and other measures to ensure diverse, effective, and representative youth participation across all that we do. At the same time, we need young people to lend their energies, ideas, innovations, and talents in the preparations for September's SDG summit. The summit must become a turning point in the race towards the SDGs. The world is counting on leaders to arrive with concrete commitments, and this includes clear ambition on tackling poverty and inequality, as well as support for a massive stimulus package to ensure that all countries, not just those with the biggest checkbooks, can invest in SDG progress. So today, I urge you to stand up for the SDGs. Activate your peers, families, and communities. Let's shape a better future. Let's do it together.
United Nations Secretary General Antonio Guterres, Destination Marketing Manager at the Discover Dominica Authority DDA, Ms. Andia M. Ravere, has confirmed the organization's commitment to continuing its island-wide campaign to encourage attendance at this year's 13th edition of the Jazz and Creole Festival, which is scheduled for May 5th. 2024. Now, Ms. Ravarea stated that various activities have been planned to offer Dominicans the chance to win prizes for this event.
The first campaign, which is My Crew, My Crew, which was launched on the 15th, Monday 15th. So we have four general admission tickets to share with your crew, call it so. So we're encouraging you guys to go back in your archives, head into your Google Docs or Google Photos to find where you could get pictures of you and your crew at Jazz and Creole, Be Jazz and Creole 2023, Jazz and Creole 2017. But dig, find them, post them on Instagram, on Facebook, and tag your crew. Each and every single one of your crew, tag Discover Dominica, tag Dominica Festivals, use hashtag Jazz and Creole 2024, Discover Dominica, Dominica Festivals, hashtag Dominica, post that pic, and I'm telling you guys, you have a chance to win four tickets. The photo with the most likes gets that chance to you and your crew to get these four tickets and attend Jazz and Creole 2024. We actually truly have Digicel ensuring that everyone gets an opportunity to go home with something today. So I was here looking at one of our attendees picking up another gift before she leaves. So this is amazing. Digicel, thank you for being an amazing sponsor. And thank you for really hyping up our room this morning.
Ravere elaborated on the latest initiative by the Discover Dominica Authority, encouraging everyone to participate and ignite excitement in anticipation of the upcoming event.
We have, which it was announced last press conference, and we're going to go again back into that QR code hunt. So we have three participants of that hunt who get an opportunity to win a ticket, a general admission ticket to Jazz and Creole. So the hunt begins at Discover Dominica Authority. We are located 5th and 7th Great Marlboro Street Marking House. There is a QR code that is posted on our door, the office door. So that's the same office there, DFC, Discover Dominica. You come there, you scan that code, it will give you a clue. You will be required to put in your name, an email address, and a contact number, because we'll have to be able to contact you, and then you will get that clue. So you've got to unravel that clue. Once you've unraveled the clue, it will send you to another location. Again, you'll be required to put your name, your email address, because we have to ensure that you've gone through every single code, because it's a QR code hunt, of course. Once you have done all the codes, your name will be entered into a raffle, and here you'll have the opportunity to win a general admission ticket to Jazz and Creole. So get your friends together and make it an enjoyable time while you're heading out searching for crews around the city. Additionally, we are pleased to inform that Jazz and Creole and the airlines Instagram campaigns. So Inter-Caribbean, Wind Air, and Caribbean Airlines are partnering with Jazz and Creole to get one lucky winner and a guest to our 13th edition Jazz and Creole.
And that was Miss Andia M. Ravarere, Destination Marketing Manager at Discover Dominica Authority. The Food and Agriculture Organization of the United Nations, Phytosanitary Measures, CPM, a pivotal body dedicated to mitigating the threats posed by plant pests and diseases to agriculture, ecosystems, and livelihoods, met recently to deliberate on additional measures to contain their spread. In his opening remarks at the 18th session of the Commission, Kyu Dong Hu, Director General of the Food and Agriculture Organization of the United Nations, FAO, underscored the severe repercussions of uncontrolled pest and disease outbreaks on global food security and on trade. The CPM serves as the governing entity of the International Plant Protection Convention, convening annually to evaluate the global plant health situation and assess progress toward achieving the convention's goals. In 2023, the IPPC welcomed the Federal Republic of Somalia as its 185th contracting party. The changing climate has altered the distribution and severity of plant pests and diseases worldwide. This necessitates the CPM's role in facilitating international collaboration and information exchange for early detection, rapid response, and coordinated control efforts, as highlighted by Q. A notable example of a devastating plant disease is Fusarium tropical race 4, also known as TR4, which poses a significant threat to banana crops globally. At the recent fourth global conference of the World Banana Forum, hosted by the FAO, the severe impact of TR4 on banana production was discussed. Chairman of the Dominica National Conservation Trust Fund, Albert Paul, stressed the significance of development in enhancing societies while acknowledging its associated costs. He highlighted the efforts of individuals and organizations worldwide, including those in Dominica, dedicated to ensuring a future where nature remains prominent. Paul particularly emphasized the role of the Dominica National Conservation Trust Fund in this mission.
I believe is a necessary evil, but often the cost of development is far-reaching because as we develop, we lose sight of many of our natural gifts that we have been blessed with and have been given. It is hard to imagine a world without trees or clear, fresh water or deep blue seas filled with varieties of aquatic creatures, plants, sites. But as we continue to degrade and destroy our environment, this, I propose, will become a very real and very scary possibility. There are persons and organizations around the world and the region, and now here in Dominica, which have been set up and which have tasked themselves with the goal and purpose of ensuring that there's a future with nature very present and featured prominent. One such organization, which I have the pleasure of chairing, is the Dominica National Conservation Trust. The Dominica National Conservation Trust Fund was set up through the initiative, was conceptualized through our partners, the Caribbean Biodiversity Fund. It's a fairly new organization, just about a year old. But of course, I know many of the NCTFs here would understand that you do have a lot of teething issues. There are things, there are hiccups along the way. But the goal and the purpose of these organizations remains resolute. We need to protect our environment. We need to ensure that we leave something for the future generations. Interestingly, I'm going to, and I promise not to be very long. I remember growing up, and there were mangoes and limes and fruits in abundance. Actually, I had several grapefruit trees right outside my door. And we took a lot of these things for granted. We went to the river, we went to the seas, and there were vibrant colors and there was beauty all around us, but we also took those things for granted.
Paul expressed gratitude for organizations like the Caribbean Biodiversity Fund, which have been instrumental in conceptualizing and implementing initiatives across the Caribbean region. He highlighted their significant contributions to the Caribbean and emphasized the potential for further engagements of this nature to foster an even stronger and more vibrant Caribbean region.
I don't want to live in a world where our future generations only read about these things. I want to live in a world where we set a platform for future generations to come so that when we leave, and being almost 100 years old, I think I'm probably going to leave soon. But I want to ensure that what we do here is going to resonate not just today, but tomorrow and for many years to come. And I'm happy that organizations like the Caribbean Biodiversity Fund has conceptualized the forming of NCTFs around the region and continues to do wonderful work around the region, not just here in Dominica. Well, we're only just getting started, and I believe that the future is bright if we have these sorts of engagements and these sorts of initiatives, not just here in Dominica. And I'm happy that you decided to have this function in Dominica, because, of course, Dominica is setting itself up to be the first climate resilient or the first resilient country in the world. And these often are just words, but they require lots and lots of action. And organizations like the DNCTF, the Caribbean Diversity Fund, and all our partners, including yourselves, because we need to build capacity wherever we go, because we don't know it all. And the more information we get from other persons, the better it's going to be.
Chairman of the Dominica National Conservation Trust Fund, Albert Paul. You're tuned in with Q95 News. Police Welfare Association President Cameron Laurie highlighted the Royal St. Lucia Police Force resource needs and disclosed that officers share bulletproof vests in St. Lucia. Open quote, "You have police officers today still sharing a bulletproof vest. You know that you come to work, you are being given a bulletproof vest to perform your duties, you drop it back at the end of your tour, and the tour that's coming in uses that very same vest," end quote, Laurie explained. He described the situation as unacceptable. In this regard, Laurie emphasized the need for every officer to receive personal protective equipment as soon as possible. In more news, Ukraine's prime minister has told the BBC there will be a third world war if Ukraine loses its conflict with Russia, as he urged the United States Congress to pass a long-stalled foreign aid bill. Denis Shmyhal spoke to the BBC about Russian aggression and propaganda ahead of a vote by Congress on foreign aid. He expressed careful optimism that U.S. lawmakers would pass the hotly contested measure, which has $61 billion earmarked for Kyiv.
We have some conversations today. Some conversations we will have tomorrow. All the partners, all the congressmen have very careful optimism for Saturday. So we share this optimism. And we need this money yesterday, not tomorrow, not today, but yesterday. If Ukraine will fall, so the global system of security will be destroyed. There will be many conflicts, many such kind of wars, and in the end of the day, it could lead to the Third World War. Our mutual task is to protect democratic values, to protect existing, after the Second World War, global system, global security system, and bring long-term and sustainable peace on European continent. So Russia must lose this war, and aggressor should be punished.
We saw Republican Congressman McCall say last week that he thinks that Russian propaganda has infected, that's the word that he used, some members of his party. What do you think of that?
We shouldn't forget that Russia is leading war with Ukraine on the ground, but Russia is leading war with a civilized world, with West countries in the multidimensional spaces. Disinformation and propaganda is influencing here in the United States on many people, in European Union on many people, such as in Ukraine. So we should count on this, and we should make our work. We should fight against of this absolutely unprovoked, illegal aggression of Russia in Ukraine.
That was Ukraine's Prime Minister, Denis Shmyhal. That's the midday news. Now a recap of our headlines. Financial economist and UWP leader Dr. Thompson Fongte discourages Caribbean leaders from supporting establishment of low investment offshore banks in their countries.
Q95DA.com.
Police Welfare Association President Cameron Laurie highlighted the Royal St. Lucia Police Force resources needs and contends that police officers sharing bulletproof vests is unacceptable. And Ukraine's Prime Minister, Denis Shmyhal, told the BBC there will be a third world war if Ukraine loses its conflict with Russia, as he urged the U.S. Congress to pass a long-stalled foreign aid bill. The news was brought to you with the very kind compliments of Courts Dominica Limited. I've been your presenter, Richie Farrell.